I want to bring you some news that we can use, and that is, I gave to Aviel and Akiva a card this size, and want people who wish to have it to be able to put it in their tefillin bag, or if you have a talus as well, into a talus bag. And the idea is this: a person is, wherever you may be, someone, it's happened. These are things that have happened. A person's tefillin, talus and tefillin are stolen. And somebody finds them in the garbage somewhere. And in the garbage, they don't know whose tefillin it is. There's no contact information whatsoever. A guy is on a plane, gets off the plane, and he forgets to take his talus and tefillin. It's on the plane, again, no contact information. Or sometimes even in a shul, if he's visiting somewhere, no contact information. So what works beautifully is that you put into your tefillin bag, into your talus bag, contact information. How to get in touch with you, name, telephone number, address. It can just save you so much tsar. So, Aviel, if you give out to anybody who wishes to have one, just take it. You'll do your own writing. Okay, Akiva, just give to the guys who are interested in it. And believe me, it could make a major difference in the future. And I'd say pass it on to others, because you will find Ruba de Ruba of the people do not have any contact information in their, in their tefillin. And this may make a difference to some. I want to share with you an expanded version of something that I've spoken about. Those of you who are new are hearing it for the first time. Those of you who are chazering with me, you chazer. But it's certainly worthwhile as such. The Rambam in Hilchos Deis, Perek Shishi, is a famous, famous Rambam. The Rambam essentially says, and I'll paraphrase it and then take some parts out of it, that the derech of people is to associate with the majority of people around them. And therefore we take on their customs, their mores, their values. That is just the way it is. That is the derech. Lefikach, says the Rambam, tzarech lehischaber letzadikim. Be careful to associate with tzadikim, to sit amongst them, that we should learn from them. If you're already going to learn from somebody, the media around you is bombarding us with whatever. If you look around Yerushalayim, you'll see there are no billboards of half-naked people. There are no billboards of disgusting things in the Yerushalayim that we are living in, thanks to people who, when they started some years ago to put up signs in the way where you get to the little bus station, people torched the bus stations in order, those little booths around here, because they had filthy, filthy material there, or filthy sayings. They wouldn't allow it to be. So we are, Baruch Hashem, the recipients of the mile of not having that around. But it's a rarefied atmosphere. And something that, you don't realize, oh, fine. You go other parts of Yerushalayim, certainly other places, it becomes more like what we see in America. But the fact is, Baruch Hashem, the atmosphere is better. So therefore, you want to be in a place together where you're going to get bombarded with goodness. V'chein, imaya b'mdina, if you're living in a place where the minhagim are bad and it's going to affect you adversely, so it says move, go to a different place where you're going to get and you'll be together with better people. And then it says, but what happens if you can't move? They won't let you move, and you're unable to move. So stay isolated in your own, Dalet Amos. And then it says, if you are in a position that you can be where they won't let you stay alone, as far as that, and you're supposed to be involved with the people around you. They don't want, and he says, like we have in our area. So that's what the Rambam says. So he says, go out, hide in caves or whatever it is, but don't stick around the situation where you're going to get, bad influence. We're here for a short period of time. Life is short. You know, a person lives to be 100. Visit Kedai sometimes to visit the home for the elderly. Just yesterday I spoke at a home for the elderly. And you see people, and it gives you an idea. The people in the home for the elderly, once upon a time, were our age. When I say our, I mean your age. To your age. So they were there, and now you look and you see a whole group of lovely, darling people who, they, you know, are old, have difficulties getting by, you know, slowly, walking slowly, and you figure, that's the way, interesting, that's the way it is, and Olam Hazeh, it goes very quickly. So the fact is, we want to maintain the purity of our living, because there's one tachlis in life. The bottom line is getting close to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and we're not going to let anything get in our way. So the Rambam says, watch out for your environment per se. Peer pressure, the tyranny of the majority. Thank God for us, Ashreina, that the majority that we have here was a wonderful, wonderful majority. But you know, that from as a Helm story of a father who wanted to keep to be busy. He didn't want his young child to bother him. So when the child was daddy, daddy, that type of stuff. So daddy said to him, listen, you know, on the outskirts of town, there's a huge dragon. It has a big red nose. And it's green, a huge green dragon with a big red nose. And it's belching fire. You know what? Why don't you go take a look at it? And this kid, like, whoa. The father figures, now he's going to be free for a while. The kid starts running towards the end of town. He's going to be able to see this huge green dragon with the big red nose belching fire. And somebody says to him, where are you running to? Where are you running? Didn't you know? The dragon, the nose, the red, the fire. And this other guy starts running too. And after a while, as we're going towards the outskirts of town, there are people starting to collect. And there's more and more people running. For what? To see the dragon. Anyway, the child's mother is on her way back home. And she's with her packages. And she sees her child running. She says, where are you going? He says, what? You didn't hear? There's a huge green dragon, red nose, belching fire. Wow! She says, she runs home. She sees her husband. She says, hey, there's a, don't you know? There's, and she tells him the story. This guy, the husband, he gets up. He starts running to go see that dragon. Halfway there, he stops for a moment. He says, hey, I'm the one who told my child about that story about the dragon. You know? But then he sees by this time the people have heard and they're all running. And he says, but he says, if everybody's running, then there must, maybe there is, or there must be a dragon out there. That's what happens where people can be sold of bill of goods. Because if everybody's talking about it and everybody's doing it, it must be so. And you have to be careful of that. Because, you know, very often it just ain't so. It depends where the source may be. If it's from our rebellion, if it's one thing. But you know, so many sources, I won't go into the sources now. Let me give you an idea of peer pressure for a moment. On a college campus, there was a psychologist, Dr. Ash. Dr. Ash held an experiment, and he told the seven people who were involved in his experiment, he told them the following. I am going to see what your perception is. He lied to them. I want to see how your perception is. He went to the board and he said, this, and he drew a line 12 inches long. This is a one line. And then he had a 10-inch one that he was parallel. Close enough so you could certainly see which was longer, the 12-inch one or the 10-inch one. And then he asked the people as they, you know, as they sat there, and they all had vision that was adequate to be able to see the lines. He said, tell me, perception, which line is longer? What, of seven people, what, the six of them were already set up. Six, but the seventh didn't know. Six of them, when they went first, and they said, well, of course, of course. They pointed to the 10-inch line, which was under the 12-inch line, and they said, that's the one that's longer. Got it? The 10-inch line is longer than the 12-inch line. And now they asked the last remaining fellow, who was not part of it, he didn't know that the first one was set up, the first six, which is longer. So after hearing from the other six people, who he didn't know, he had no shaykhus to them, had nothing, he said, well, of course, he points to the 10-inch line, that's the longer. That was longer. 60%, this is an experiment, they did X number of people, 60% of the people who were the seventh after the first six identified the 10 inches as being longer than the 12 inches, 60% agreed, because they weren't going to be different than the other people. 30%, after they said, listen, you know, 10 inches is 10 inches. They didn't know how many inches it is, but that's the longer one. They pointed to 12 inches. They knew, of course, and they saw. But after people said, oh, you're crazy. You know what you're talking about. And they were cajoled, and the people argue with them. They changed. Well, that's another 30. After they said no, and they got it right the first time. But the peers, everybody else said, you're crazy. Like people looking up, crazy. Like Noah's time, crazy. You know, okay, fine. So what happened? 10% stuck it out. So what was the real experiment? The real experiment was to see how people are influenced by their surroundings. It wasn't an observant, it wasn't to teach, it wasn't to discuss today with you, but the idea was, and we can use it to realize how insidious, how harmful, or how good. Remember this. It works both ways. It works both ways. Baruch Hashem, it works here in a different way. But our surroundings make a major, major difference. And as long as we know, that's it. You look in Chumash and you see an interesting thing. Yaakov Avinu, he's 63 years old when he leaves home. Yaakov and Avinu and Esav, twins, both 63. They go to their father, Yitzchak. They get their respective brachas. Esav is out to kill him. Because. And what happens? Yaakov leaves, 63. And he goes to the house of Laban. Laban, by the way, Lamed Beis Nun, means white. If you take it the other way, you see it means novel. Scoundrel that he is. He has to go to Lovel, to Uncle Lovel. Fine, he's going to go. But what does he do before that time? He stops off for 14 years in the yeshiva of Shem Be'er. So if Yaakov Kamenetsky asks a question, and many others ask the same question, like, hey, what does he need 14 more years of learning for until he goes to Lovel? I mean, you know, he's been learning all his life. Doesn't get better than the house of Yitzchak and Rivka. There, the Messiah is there, Avraham, Yitzchak, now there's Yaakov there too. What is he going to get from the yeshiva of Shem Vlever? What he's learning, what's he going to get? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, he can get something different. In the house of his father and grandfather, of Avraham and Yitzchak, he got the Torah of Avraham and Yitzchak. But there's another Torah. When I say another, there's another approach for Torah that's going to include that of Shem, who lived in the time of the Mabul and understood the approach, the psyche of the people who were Rishonim of the time. And there was an Aver who lived in the time 340 years later of the Dor HaFloga, and therefore he's going to get the Torah of their Torah too. Whatever was Torah in those days, you know, understand, Matan Torah gives us the Torah that we understand. But there was the Torah that of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach and the other things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to have through his part and parcel of their Torah. Fine. So he got from his father's home, but he's got a certain slant because he had to go to Lovin. And with Lovin, you have to be prepared that Lovin's, the atmosphere in Lovin doesn't creep into your bones. And you don't become a part of that. And the best way was to be able to go to their homes to be able to get the learning, to be able to guide them. That's why every Friday night when we get a bracha, Yisimcha Elokim ke'Ephraim u'ke'Manasseh. One of the reasons that it's Ephraim and Manasseh, because Ephraim and Manasseh were two people who lived in Golus Mitzrayim, in the most degenerate land of all. And they lived and they remained true to the mission of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And therefore, we get that type of bracha in their name because we want to be able to have the siyata d'shmaya to make it in serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu in even a society which is not necessarily the Torah society that we would want to have in its fullest. That really is the beauty of our yeshiva too. Our yeshiva gives us the combination, a combination of the Torah of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, of Moshe and Aaron, etc., etc., and also gives us an understanding through the sforum of our gedolim, past and present, to be able to deal with Torah in its fullest form, including how to deal with the inyanim of our times. That's where the Rosh Yeshiva, Zalzayin Gezunt, brings in the various people to speak and to arm us to be ready for that, when we see the dragon that doesn't exist, that we're able to, you know, understand where there is illusions and where not. And we have, Baruch Hashem, the values and the skills that will last us a lifetime. And while we're all ready, one has to be careful as well. The Mishnah Berurah brings down, the Shulchan Aruch brings down, Mishnah Berurah comments on it. About what the Mishnah Berurah says, listen, says the Ramah, if people mock you when you're doing mitzvahs, don't let it bother you. Lo yisbayish mibnei adam hamaligin alav. A person should not be embarrassed when people make comments about him and mock him in his avodas Hashem. And he says also that the following, says the Mishnah Berurah, al kopanim. Lo yiskoteti mohem mipnesha midus ha'azus megunim ma'od. Don't answer back in kind. A person says, you dirty Jew. Well, you don't start back, you dirty this. I do know, unfortunately, once in a baseball park that type of interaction occurred. And a fellow who was upset when the Jewish kid answered back, went back to his car, took out a baseball bat, and then hit the Jewish kid over the head and killed him. But I'm not talking about that type of situation. God forbid. I am saying, though, as the Mishnah Berurah says over here, that don't answer back in kind, in a brazen, crude way, if somebody does say something. Because azus, being crude, is megunim me'od. It's inappropriate. Ein royli yishtamesh mimena klal. It's not appropriate to use this type of stuff at all. Afilu b'avodas Hashem, k'yikne kinyan b'nafsho. That makes a kinyan. A person starts using language or bituyim, which are coarse and not appropriate. It gets into your kishkas, and that we never want that to have. Afilu b'makom avodas Hashem. Even if there's avodas Hashem, if somebody attacks you verbally, it's okay. Just let it go. All right, the Be'er Halacha talks about it, and I won't go into what the Be'er Halacha has to say now, but essentially that's the basic part, because any type of azus makes a difference. It makes a difference especially since we live in a non-Jewish society. Rav Zilberstein has a shiloh that came up. An Av Bias went to Davin with Bochum in the yeshiva, and he saw an interesting thing. In that yeshiva, on Shabbos, there was, and the kids, guys stay, like we stay, same setup. Okay, picture in your mind, very similar. The chiluk is going to be this. It happens in America, and there is, at least I think it happens in America. It's Ken Zion. I don't want to tell you where it happened, because it doesn't say where it happened. I assumed it did, but it's Lav Dafka. Okay, and there is a non-Jewish fellow working in the kitchen. And when he hears the zmiris that are being sung, he's humming along with the Bachrim. And they say to him, how do you know this mirrors? How do you know they're Shabbos thing? So this non-Jewish fellow working in a kitchen, he says, I used to be working for a singer, for a Jewish singer. And he used to be singing his songs together on Shabbos, the songs. You know, they get to know the lingo fast enough. It's on Shabbos with the songs. And therefore, I learned them. Then he asked the Baruchim if he could sit at the table with them, because you're going to sing Zmiris. I want you to know, the end of the story is not that he becomes Jewish. We don't look for proselytes. So if you think you know the end of the story, you're like, hey, it's not the end of the story. Okay, fine. So what happens? So he sits at the table, and finally, he became so good. He had a nice voice. He knew the songs before from the fellow who he worked for. So now he starts to lead the Zmiris at the Shabbos table. The Av Bias walks into the yeshiva, and he sees what's going on. There's a non-Jewish fellow at the table leading the Zmiris. And he gets in touch with Reb Zilberstein to find out. You know, Reb Zilberstein is Reb Yashiv Zatzal's son-in-law. So, a Gadolim Psak at this time. And he gets all the most interesting shilas. Anyway, what happens? He's a shila. Is it okay to let this fellow be involved in Zmiris and taking the position he has, either the leadership position or Bechlau, to sit at the table? And Reb Zilberstein paskened to him, no, not acceptable. Not acceptable. He says, it is liable to make it a riffian in the Bochur. You don't bring in a non-Jew to take the position there. Zmiris are something that's kodesh. It's part of avavaydus Hashem. It's not like, it's lahavdol. When it comes time, I think of it now, in America for sure, people like to invite non-Jews to the Pesach Seder. Almost no Jew can't do it. He has a say, he has a how-to booklet. It's called the Haggadah. It's in any language he wants. So therefore, he doesn't have to be embarrassed that he can't do, it doesn't have to, there it is. You do this, this, and this. So he figures he can invite his non-Jewish this, and non-Jewish, his business partner, and the guy who works in the office, and the secretary, and everybody over. But lo zuat derech. A Seder is not a meal. It's not a festive meal. We see it. We say Hallel at the Seder in the middle of the meal to show that it's a Kodesh Nikazach. Zmiris are Kodesh. You don't have a non-Jew there. So he didn't allow. Because there's something special. Our whole way of life is different. I've mentioned in the past, interesting, that in the morning we make a bracha shalo asani goy. Who do we think about when we make that bracha shalo asani goy? The fellow who's cleaning the trash? The fellow who is this or that? Let me tell you, that I would suggest, and you can use anybody you want, every day when I start off, I think of President Obama. And not because of the color of his skin, because he is the most powerful man in the world. And that's the guy who I'm thinking of. I say, thank you, Hashem, for not making me a non-Jew. And being able, Baruch Hashem, because this is Ashreinu, that we have and who we are. And after, we have to be very careful of who we associate, what we read, what we listen to. We have a Shiloh over here in the Gemara. Is Rhea Kaina in that? I say without a Shiloh, of course Rhea is Kaina. And so is Shmiah. Whatever we look at makes a major impression. We are Kona in it forever. Often. Unless we try to wash our minds. And it works the other way. Don't misunderstand. Rhea and beautiful things. We go. People went last night to the Tamar, hotel, to see Reb Chaim Kanievsky, to see his faith, to see Reb Aaron Schneiman. They should both be well. That makes it. Rhea's kind of, it comes into me. Otherwise, the fact of life is, if God forbid we see the wrong things, it's almost like taking this Mishnah Torah, and in the middle, you'll excuse me, to sew in a Playboy magazine or other stuff that's out there. Because Rhea is kinda, and what goes into my head stays with me. And oh boy, when does it come out? During davening, during learning, whatever it is, because the Yetzer Hara is like, whoa, he has, more color, more color, so to speak, than Baskin-Robbins in order to be able to get to us in one way or another. Chavrus is major. I am so happy, by the way. And I see being involved with you and seeing how you pick your roommates. and how you care for roommates. And it gives me great pleasure to work with roommates. I had to do it again, this, you know, to redo many rooms this time around. Because roommates are one of the most influential people when we're in yeshiva. I once spoke to a bacher who was sent to a particular yeshiva. Actually, it was my son. I said, we sent him to a particular yeshiva at the time, you know, to send, because the Magid Shir was somebody so very special, etc., etc., and he is and was, it was and is, as I'm concerned, everything was wonderful. And I said to him, what made the most influence? Who made the most, what or who made the most influence on you this year, is his first year in yeshiva? Now he's now a father with, you know, his own children, etc. He said to me, my roommate. And I followed up afterwards, and you'd be surprised. Roommates make. Now, fine. A major impression. Each person on his own, I understand that. Yaakov and Esav are in Rivka's room. Yaakov and Esav. And the Chazal tell us, when they pass the house of the Avodah Zarah, Esav tries to get it. When Yaakov Avinu pass a Mokum Kodr, Yaakov Avinu. Shaila, Yaakov Avinu, what does he want to go out for? What does he want to go for? He's learning with a malach. He's in the best. He's in his mother's womb. She's a tzedekis. She's giving him life, a life of kedusha and tara. Come on. He has to go out. Let him stay in. So the guy did. The head of Eich Haredes. My Rebbe said, the part is that he didn't want to stay with Esav. He didn't want to stay with the wrong chavrusa. Chavrusa doesn't just mean in the Beis Medrash. Chavrusa means in your room. Chavrusa means where you sit with and eat with and all. Chavrusa! Yeah, you know? Certainly the people who are, he didn't want to be. He had a bad chavrusa. Yaakov had a bad chavrusa. He had Esav. So he wanted to run out. That's the fact is this. That's the way it works. Sodom. Who goes to Sodom? Lot. Lot is Lot. You know how Lot lives, what he ends up doing, etc. So that's Lot. He goes to Sodom. Why didn't Avram Gavinu go to Sodom? Avram is so concerned. He's praying for them. His disputant is a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. Please, he says, you know, do this. Will you do it for 50, for 40, for 45, for 90, you know, goes all the way down to 10. People, just save the city. Listen, Avraham, if you're so worried about the city of Sodom, why don't you move there? You know? You and Sarah could do wonderful things in the city of Sodom. The guy that asked that last night at the Tish. Like, why are you so what? Because he didn't want to be in the wrong place. It was hard enough to live the way he was anyway. But he didn't want to go into the Mokum was the Avia Vosatumet. Because it has an effect on us. The main thing is we should know that all these things have effects. The guy who says, like Alfred E. Newman, who, me, worry? I don't have to worry. Okay. Listen, come on. Yeah, everybody has to worry. The guy who doesn't worry, he's the one who's sick and doesn't realize that he is. If God forbid a person has an illness or sick, so at least he knows he can take care of it. We, Baruch Hashem, Ashreinu, that we are in a wonderful, wonderful situation. I'd only say with us as such, that we must always try our best to associate with positive people. Wherever it is, I have other talks about rebellion. The main thing is, Chavrus is the ikar. And be with positive people in positive, create your own situations. And that's it. When we're with positive people, we become more positive ourselves because what they do makes an influence on us without a doubt. As Isaac the Rambam, it certainly is so. And when this is so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us all to be happy people. We've mentioned time and time again, Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a world of colors and not just one color. It could have been red, only green. Because he wants people to be happy and enjoy life. He wants people to smell different fragrances. Otherwise, it can be only cinnamon without anything else. After a while, I get tired of it. There are many fragrances, many colors, and many different things. He wants happy people. The key in life is let us be happy. And when we have happiness, there's kvitzas aderech, and we can get up in the morning, and we can go back into sleep at night feeling good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set us up for success. Every mitzvah is worth 500 times more than an aveira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want a person to go through this world and he says, you didn't make it. Too bad. That's not what he wants. He wants us to be successful. And we can and we are in this beautiful, beautiful ark, this teva we have. Let's appreciate it and help each other to do the best we can.